All right, we need to bust a big myth about Napoleon Dynamite. Will there be a sequel?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome to MythFits. I'm Carrie Byron.
And I'm Tori Belacci. Welcome back to the MythFits family.
Oh my gosh. I always start this podcast with like, do I look really tired? Because I'm always going to a concert or something, but you'll find this out when your daughter's older. But like, as they get older, they spend less and less time with you. You know, they're supposed to, right? Like they want to hang out with their friends more than you. And I'm like so thirsty for her attention and time. Like I will do, if she asks me to do anything, I will do it. So if it's going to a concert, you know, the night before we have to get up and do something, it doesn't matter. She asked if I would do a 5 a.m. solid core workout class. And that means that we have to get up at like 4 a.m. to get there. And she's 16. So like,
she's ready to go.
Unlimited energy. She woke up. She was beautiful. She had a perfect ponytail. She's wearing this little tiny outfit. She looks like she just got a tan. I don't know. She's gorgeous. And I'm just like falling out of bed. I've got one eye bigger than the other. I'm just trying to like slurf my way into this, like drinking coffee. But I'm like, okay, I don't care because I get to hang out with my baby. And I was this phrase always runs through my head whenever I'm just like feeling a little bit old is, when MythBusters ended, right? After things had like cooled down and we were on to our next thing, I got a phone call from Jamie, and you know he's like, you know, I'm really sorry, guys. Like I know that sucked for you.
Because I mean, Harry, it's gonna be. I'm sorry, I fired you.
He's like, bad. I know it was really hard, but I know it's gonna be extra hard for you because you're no spring chicken.
Oh, he didn't.
Oh, but
wow.
It's that just guy that perfect is Jamie way, though.
He's got no filter. He has zero filter, that Jamie.
That's what I love most about him is like he doesn't have the filter.
No,
he doesn't lie.
Chicken.
He just tells it to you straight. Like, you know, it's just so authentic. He didn't mean that the way. And if anybody else said that to me, I'd be like,
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that. You're no spring chicken. Jeez.
That I heard Jamie saying that in my head as I was just like drinking coffee, trying to drive to the exercise studio this morning. I have to tell him that later.
the wound hasn't healed yet. You know, it's funny. My dad is my kind of, he keeps me grounded like that. I remember this was back in like 2012. It was like the last season we were on MythBusters and we were at a pizzeria and there was this family and they're like, oh my God, MythBuster, would it be okay if we got a picture with my son? And their son was like an infant. And my dad's like, why do you want a picture with him? By the time he's grown up, he'll be a has-been.
Oh my God, I love your dad. I love your dad so much.
I was like, thanks, Pop. Jeez.
And look at us now. We've got a podcast.
Yeah.
This is our second. This is the next chapter. I'm going to be the Martha Stewart of fucking shit up.
He's doing it on purpose to keep me striving.
Were you worried? I mean, when MythBusters ended, I feel like, you know, for a minute there, I was like, okay, we've got all this heat. Like, we're going to go out and do, like, so many things. But then after a while, it was sort of like MythBusters, it's like everything you did was, and starring MythBusters, Carrie Byron, or, and here comes MythBusters. Like, it was always something that we were, like, we were going to be defined with forever, and for a little bit I was kind of bummed on it, but then I don't know, it opened so many doors that I embraced it and I was like, yeah,
I know what you're saying. Like, it was because we were always like the second tier, right? We were under Jamie and Adam's shadow. We were like, we want to get out of MythBusters and do our own thing, but you're right, it's like it was such a magical time for us and for the fans that look at us now. We've embraced it again on MythFits. So it is. It's like this full circle of trying to get away from something that you're like, oh, I want to do more. I want to be, you know, thought of as different. But, you know, it's what got us to where we are now.
We're not the B team anymore, Tori.
No. Now we're the A-team. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. I proposed this name like back, I mean, I think it was like early days when we started conventions. I'm like, could we come up with something better than B-team? It's kind of, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I know it was for build team, but it sounded sort of like, I don't, not as good. I'm like, how about like, you know, I didn't like myth turns. I tried getting to do myth fits and nobody liked it. So now I'm getting my way.
Well, guess what? Just took some time. Took some time.
We're here now.
So, Carrie, do you remember around the time Mythbusters started airing, a movie came out that was just kind of like this sleeper. Like, nobody had heard of this movie. Nobody heard of the actors in the movie. Inspired me so much and just kind of changed a lot when it comes to independent filmmaking. There was no names in it. It was super low budget. It was called Napoleon Dynamite. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean that was like 2004. Mythbusters premiered 2003. Like, we were just starting out. Like, it was, and just like us, you know, it was like, you know, it was something that was small and we thought nobody would see it. And then just like, it kind of grew a cult following. And then, I mean, his was a much bigger smash, I think, out into the world. But we were on the same sort of pop culture wave right around the same time. Like, I feel like we're probably going to the same, you know, conventions.
You know, and that movie and our show kind of embraced the geek culture like never before. It's just, I'm so excited because we have somebody from the movie.
I mean, he's had an incredible career. His trajectory has taken off. His list of everything that he's done is just pages long. I think that we have so many things to ask him about. Like, there's a lot of mythology and things that are surrounding Napoleon Dynamite that I think that we have some myths that we need to bust with him.
So, Carrie, right now is Car Week in Monterey, and it's like my favorite time of year because I just geek out, running all over town. There's just the most incredible cars you've ever seen. But because it's the summer, it is hot down here, and so most of the events are outdoors, and so I'm just like sweating like a pig. You remember like those days on Mythbusters out on the bomb range?
Absolutely. But I didn't know pigs sweat. I wouldn't say you're a pig.
I think you
probably sweat like a man sweats.
Well, anyway, I used to have a hard time finding a deodorant that would hold up that long. But now, guess what? I just got a sample package from Mando, and it has all these deodorants, body sprays. I've been using it, and I smell delicious, and it actually works.
Are they good smells? I like manly smells. You know, I like the smells that, like, don't feel too perfumey.
How about bourbon and leather? How's that for a smell?
Does your wife like it?
She loves it. Let's just say there might be another one on the way.
Stop it!
What I love the best, though, is the body spray. It's just like an overall body spray, and I just love that scent because it's not overpowering. You know, sometimes somebody puts body spray on, and they walk in the room, and you can't breathe. This is not like that at all. It actually smells really nice.
Yeah, believe me, when a group of teenage boys that hang out with my daughter walk in the room, it is a strong smell. I might have to recommend this to them. This is better.
Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes. And free shipping. That's the best part.
And as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive offer code. Use code MYTHFITS at shopmando.com for 20% off site-wide, and you get free shipping.
That's shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
Smells good as Tori.
Welcome back to MythFits, everybody. Carrie, we have a very special guest. We actually have a movie star on our podcast today. You know him from so many movies like Napoleon Dynamite, Blades of Glory. The list goes on and on. It is John Heater. Welcome, John. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. I know that like last year was the 20th anniversary of Napoleon Dynamite, and you premiered 1 year after Mythbusters. So we kind of came up in the same era. And I always kind of thought it was funny that both of the one thing that I see that we had in common is we had like kind of a big hit going out the gate. And, you know, it felt like a curse and then a blessing to me that everything I did was like defined by Mythbusters. It's like Mythbusters, Carrie Byron, like no matter what I did after that. I'm wondering if you had that same experience for Napoleon Dynamite for a long time.
You know, when you, I remember thinking that all the time, like when you are introduced to the world, you know, how are you introduced to the world? I was introduced to the world as Napoleon Dynamite. People didn't know me. I didn't work my way up. I hadn't been, you know, working the clubs or doing bit parts on little movies or a SNL cast member. Like, it's boom. Nobody, Napoleon Dynamite was the first name. And then it took a while for people to know, oh, wait, John Hader, what is it? So yeah, I mean, that was pretty natural and kind of obvious. So it wasn't like anything I took with ire. I was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. It makes sense. And so, yeah, I mean, for sure, that's how people knew me.
I even heard that when your short film turned into a movie, that you were going to be recast. Like your part was going to be recast to Jake Gyllenhaal. Is that true?
No. It was,
is that a myth?
Oh, is that what we're doing? Oh, yeah. Are we busting some myths?
Are we busting internet myths?
Talking about some myth busting.
Like, that's an interesting thing. I've never heard that before. Is that a myth?
Dude, this is like my whole career. Like, you know, the last 20 years, it's funny. You hear a lot of these same myths and things that like, okay. Well, no, you know, the what started that was I did the short film. Jared Hess, you know, wrote and directed it. And then, you know, we did the short film. Then when Jared was starting to basically look around for money to make the feature, he found a producer like that. I think it was a producer friend of ours that we knew who had already graduated and moved to LA. And he put him in contact with a casting director who said, oh, you guys are making this movie. And I don't even know if he might have read the script, but he's like, dude, I have connections. I can get you. If you want Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't know if he said he could get Jake Gyllenhaal or if he just said someone like him,
but he just said,
are you like, we should go to someone like Jake Gyllenhaal and offer this and have him do it. And Jared. And so it was just a mention. And Jared was like, no, I want John.
Yeah. Could you imagine that movie would not have been what it was? Could you imagine if he
would have been different?
Napoleon Dynamite?
Probably still, if it had been directed, you know, if it was directed by Jared, it would have been a different performance, but I think it still would have been, I don't know. What made the movie? I mean, yeah, sure. I was Napoleon, but there was a lot of other characters. Would they have like responded the same? I don't know. Who knows?
Do you prefer to like improv or do you like a script and like having a director tell you exactly what to do? Like, what do you prefer as an actor?
That one depends on the project. Like for the perfect example is Napoleon. Napoleon was so well scripted but also like nobody really thought, none of the other actors thought we should improv. This is not like when you read it, you feel like, oh, this is so specific and you can tell the cadence and the timing, like you don't want to mess with that. And it would have ruined that movie if we just started like improv. It would have worked. And Jared would have been like, okay, now just, you know, say what's there.
Wait, are you telling me that dance was choreographed?
Well, hold on. when I say script, I meant dialogue. Yes. The dance scene. Yeah, that was improv. That was like improv. It was freestyle, as we say. Yes. You can't write that in a script. Well, now he gyrates left and then does a spinning somersault. And then he pumps his pelvis like Michael Jackson just met Elvis. Yeah.
That was your natural dance. Scripted. Do you do that at weddings? Is that all you? Is that for real?
Well, I used to. And then Napoleon happened and it ruined dance for me.
you took my dance, Napoleon.
I know. It was like, you know, I've only been to a few weddings since. And there was a couple times it was like, everybody's looking. I'm like, no, don't you guys. I'll do my own. I've got other moves and it's just like the pressure.
Did you actually draw the pictures in Napoleon, the fantasy animals? Was the liger, was that a you design?
That's a me. That's amazing. That's a you. Yeah,
those animation skills from college coming into play.
That's correct.
Awesome. Myth confirmed. See, we're clearing some stuff up here.
We're confirming,
today.
Busting, and confirming myths.
Busting and what's the opposite of busting?
Plausible confirmed. Or confirmed.
Yeah. But myth confirmed doesn't like sell as well as a show title.
I know, right?
Confirmed.
Ooh. It doesn't.
Let's bust myth some plausible. Myths and confirm some myths.
Dude, I heard you knew Grant.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work with him per se, but I met him in Australia. We were both at a convention, like one of those fan conventions. And this was probably 10 or like 8 or 10 years ago. It was in Australia. I was like, dude, yeah, like just this rando convention. And he reached out. I was like, oh, I'd love to go to Australia. And it was so fun because it was kind of one of those situations where you do like a weekend and then you have like a week off in Australia and then do another weekend. So we had a week off in Australia and I went with my buddy and Grant was just one of the guests there. And so we just like hung out for the week and we just played, went to the beach, went snorkeling. We,
did
some hikes. It was awesome. And Grant was like the coolest guy.
Yeah, I miss him. He's with us every day.
Yeah. He was really cool and you know, just the sweetest guy. And no, we had a blast. And it was short lived. I might have seen him. I'm trying to remember I think we went to another one. It was another Australian one. I think it was like a year or so later, and he was at that one as well. I believe so. But it was always cool because then we hung out afterward in LA at a mutual friend's house. And so I got to hang out with him
that's so
like
cool.
A small little tiny chapter of my life. And it was really cool.
Grant also had a very famous improv dance, but it was always behind the scenes. I don't think he ever did it on camera.
No, I think there was a couple of episodes of Herman dance,
like to a T. He could do.
Oh, really?
He added his own moves to it, but like he could do it, like he would jump up on a bar and do the Pee Wee Herman dance for us. It was always
break the glasses and everything. Maybe
he wouldn't go that far, but every bone would turn and be like, what is that guy doing? It was awesome.
He did it in Michigan when we were on a shoot with a bunch of like Teamster kind of guys. And it was bust out this dance and it was like the record scratched. He was just
everyone was just going, what is your guy doing right now?
Oh my God.
I think he was trying to just himself. Like,
they weren't in on the joke, huh?
No,
they were not. They were the butt heads of the joke. Here's another internet myth that I want to see if it's true. Efron Ramirez, he has a twin brother as well.
Yes, that's true.
And somebody posted a story that they saw your brother and his brother at Costco. They were just hanging out and people were coming up. Oh my God, you guys still hang out from after Napoleon Dynamite.
So busted. So yes, that happened, except that, and I've been meaning, I have the picture. I need to post it. I'm not great at social media and I need to post it because it was still pretty cool to hear. We both have identical twins. So my identical twin and his identical twin ran into each other. It was at a Costco. This was just, I think, last year. It was just last year. But they had never met each other. And I think it was my brother recognized, or I can't remember who recognized who, but they're like, so, you know, they approached each other like, hey, what's going on? They'd like talked for like a few seconds. I don't think people were coming up to them at all. I don't think anybody bothered them. But they... we're like, well, we should probably get a picture, right? Yeah, I guess so. Then we can break the internet or something. So they got a picture. So I'll maybe in lieu of this, I'll post the picture.
That's so funny.
But it was like, it's the bizarro version, the alternate reality of Napoleon and Pedro.
And how random.
That is so awesome.
Well, everybody's at Costco, so it's not that random.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I failed to mention that right after he ran into him, he ran into Uncle Rico and Deb and Grandma. Even Tina La Llama was there.
Speaking of conventions, we met the Ghost Hunters. We both had the same agent, booking agent, and he was ripping us all off. And so we like ended up suing him. Nothing ever came of it, but we got this really strong friendship with the Ghost Hunters. And I was watching Ghost Team, and they do like a cameo in the beginning of the movie. So I was just curious, this is a movie you were in. Did you do any ghost hunting to prepare for that movie? And do you believe in ghosts?
That's funny. Like, what would you expect? Like, see, I mean, I get that actors go out and, you know, do stuff to research their roles. I was like, okay, how do I successfully hunt for ghosts? I felt like I had enough experience, especially in the woods, growing up where you're just in the dark, in the pitch dark. And you're like, oh, is there something around here? Or hanging out, like in high school, you know, you and your buddies would go find like abandoned hospitals or abandoned right. places where you just go check it out. I love that. So I felt like that was probably, I researched, in other words, feeling like you're checking something out, a creepy place, and you're looking for something cool. I think I do kind of believe in ghosts. I mean, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm like, it's weird. I've never been straight up like, do you straight up believe in ghosts? I was like, well, I mean, I do believe in the afterlife. I do believe that in demonology. So I guess the spirit of someone, could that still be around? I suppose so.
Well, it's funny because we had always talked about being on each other's show, but at the time they were on Sci-Fi Channel, we were on Discovery. And then once the Warner merged, then we were all on Discovery platform. And so Steve called me up. He was like, hey, do you want to come out and be our resident skeptic and go, we're going to go look at this old abandoned hospital and up in Washington. And I was like, sign me up. Like, this sounds like fun. And so we got there and we spent 3 nights. We started at 10 p.m. until, you know, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m, just running around with all these, you know, instruments. I mean, it was the most fun I ever had because you're just hanging out with your friends shooting the shit. But there was one moment when I was walking up these stairs and it felt like somebody had like blown into my ear. And I turned the flashlight. There was no like drafts of air or anything. It was literally just like in the hallway. And that was like the one time that I was like, what? Like, I'm not sure. But that was like one of those creepy moments.
Yeah. No, it's funny because you'll hear these stories and then you're like, well, do I believe in ghosts? I don't know. But I believe in that story.
Yeah.
I believe that something weird happened and maybe that means it was a ghost.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. But I'm all like, I mean, it was. But I love that vibe. Shooting that movie was a ton of fun because
it looked like
it was essentially, that's all we were doing. We were just ghost hunting on camera, like we were our own show, even though, you know, you're not going to find ghosts because you're just shooting a film, but you're with your buddies.
Yeah.
And it was late at night in creepy areas and it was cold. And I was like, I was in my element. I was like, I love this. This is me and my buddies again going camping. And then we go out at night and go and explore and check out the woods and listen to creepy animals at night. Like, that was totally my vibe. So I love that.
Okay. I have a question. Why do ghosts, why are they wearing clothes? Why are they haunt us in their clothes? I don't understand that. Why do people always see ghosts in clothes? Because
that was the outfit they died in. That's kind of
come on, Carrie. Generic, everybody knows just, that.
That's ghost science 101. I mean, whatever you died in is what you're wearing.
Well, I hope that I'm wearing something lovely and I don't die naked then.
Yeah, well, there are naked ghosts out there.
All right, we need to bust a big myth about Napoleon Dynamite. Will there be a sequel?
I think the biggest myth, well, recent myth, is everybody's asking. I was like, they're making a sequel, right?
Oh.
They're making a sequel to Napoleon. And I'm like, no, they're not. I mean, I'm not they're saying not. They never will.
No.
They're not now. And you never know.
I thought your 20th anniversary, all that social media was leading up to the fact that you guys.
Dude, it was crazy. There was straight up like posts claiming that was true. I was like, where are you getting this from? Like, what do you, like, who are you to just claim it's like true? It's like, oh, we heard maybe. And I was like, no, this is true. I was like, no, it's not.
Wow. All right. So that's busted. No sequel to Napoleon Dynamite.
But, you know, again, It sounds like such a downer, but I'm just saying, well, you never know. It's not you to never. Say that we never will. It's just not planned right now.
Never say
if
never.
You looked at your social media, though, it looked like it was hinting at it. I know it was just for the tour.
My social media?
Yeah. There were a couple posts that, like, I know you were talking about the anniversary of Napoleon Dynamite, like, last year. And I feel like there were a couple posts there that I'm like, oh, they're going to announce something big. It's going to be reboot or something. Like,
well, then that's my fault if I was, you know, teasing everyone.
You probably got Reddit afire, which is where most myths come from. Oh, man, myth busted. So what are you up to now? What do you have coming out?
So we're kind of premiering. It's kind of a weird marketing thing because it's a small independent film, but it's probably the closest thing I've ever shot to a Napoleon sequel. It's not a Napoleon sequel, but it's a movie about these weirdos living, just greaseballs living in a small town in 1980. And it's called Topowingo. My character, my buddy, think of themselves as mercenaries.
Right.
They're like taking jobs, like, what, you know, ads in the newspaper, like, hey, they need some help doing this. And so, yeah, it's just very much.
It looks great.
It's a fun movie. And we're premiering at San Diego Comic-Con next week.
Wow.
So yes. I'm very excited for that.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And yeah. And then Waltzing with Brando is coming out later this year. And then there's also a movie called I See the Demon, which is a psychological sci-fi horror.
Oh, cool.
That is was a lot of fun. And that's coming out later this year as well.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. You're so prolific. All right, everybody. Go see all of his movies. And if you want to find him, he's also on Instagram. You can go stalk him in all of the social medias. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was so awesome.
Tori, we've hit the big time. We had a legit superstar. John,
oh my God.
Awesome.
That was so fun. He's such an interesting guy and just hilarious. I love, and the fact that he knew Grant, like, that just, that's so random. I'm so happy that we got him on the show.
Dude, worlds collide. That was awesome. I also like that he was down to do a little bit of, myth busting. Like, there's definitely a lot of stuff on the internet that's completely untrue. It was fun to kind of, get to ask him all that.
So, Carrie, it is that time, one of our favorite times on the show, where we take fan questions. You guys, thank you so much for sending them in. And please keep sending them in because we love them. And who knows? We might be asking one of your questions.
Yeah, I've been trying to answer a couple of them online whenever I can. But I like doing it here because it's like a little more of a surprise.
All right. So this question comes from M_R_Cox. For the Rolling Stone Gathers No Moss myth, did you get into trouble for not blending the moss well enough, or was it mostly for camera? Jamie looked pretty upset with you guys. Well, that's a good question.
Oh my God. That was such a weird one. That was actually like when people are like, oh, how long does it take to film a myth? Like, that one took months because we actually had to grow moss and we've got black thumbs. And I remember I actually have a little scar on my hand right here from building that stupid rolling machine that, like, it cut me so deep that, like, I have, like, a slash in my hand. Maybe the moss didn't grow because it got blood on it.
I love that episode because, I mean, I didn't like the myth. The myth was, I don't know, just it felt like kind of like a bunk, bogus myth to test. But whatever. But I loved the technique we use to test the myth. And like you said, we'd taken these stones, built this rolling rig that had moisture sprayed in, and this wheel would just spin constantly so that the stone was inside this track and it was just constantly rolling. But the challenge was we were to blend the moss in a like a food processor and then sprinkle it inside the track and see if the stone would gather moss. And like you said, after months and months, we got no results.
I don't think Jamie was really that upset. Was he that upset?
He was a little annoyed. See, I remember it differently. I remember they came in and he was like, well, the reason why this experiment didn't work is because you guys screwed it up. You didn't do good. Do better. That's kind of what the feeling. It was Like, he wasn't mad, but he was definitely disappointed. And that sometimes is the worst.
That's just Jamie, though. His like, when he comes in, it's just like, he's not like mad. I feel like it's more just, it's like clinical. It's more like, nope, you did wrong. Like, you could do it better.
You're no spring chicken anymore, right?
You're never going to forget that either.
I'm going to get a t-shirt. You're no spring chicken anymore. No, but I remember
Am I growing moss? I've been a rolling stone for a long time now. Do I have moss? Check me
out.
But
it's that old saying, like, you know, you're when you're getting in trouble and your father's like, I'm not mad at you, just disappointed. And that's what that, you know, he came in and was like, wow, this could have worked, but because you guys screwed it up, it didn't.
I mean, I think because I had worked for Jamie as an intern for so long, I just always expected that, like, he's not going to come in with like a glorious review no matter what. So I guess I had lower expectations. I get more excited when he comes in. He's like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Well, I guess he wouldn't have that much intuition. You did well. Like, you know, like, I feel like that has more of an impact. Whereas just like generally, he's got very high standards. It's really hard to impress him. And when you do, it's just a win.
Yeah. Or when, like, if you say something, he gives a, it's like, that was, he just laughed out loud. Like, that was him dying on the floor. Like, he's rolling on the floor right now, laughing. He went.
I've heard him legit laugh before. Like, every now and then you get like a like, but it was only from like a joke he told. Like, we were doing, I think it was like 10 at 2 and 2 at 10 kind of myth. Like, we were drinking at a bar, and just for color, you know, it was like one of those gender ones where it was just like, are people more attractive after you had some cocktails?
Right.
And just while we were sitting around, he starts telling jokes, some of them my camera. And like, after a white Russian or two, that was Jamie's drink, he would start like cracking himself up. It was so much fun. Like, it was, that's when that was the best, like after a myth or like, you know, when he'd start drinking those white Russians, like he'd loosen up. And he'd have like a real laugh. It was sort of like,
So to answer your question, he wasn't mad. He was just disappointed.
And with that, Tori, I feel like we need to end here because this is no spring chicken right here.
Ah, I can't believe he said that to you. Well, anyway, thank you guys for tuning in.
Thanks for liking, following, subscribing. Thanks for coming on this wild adventure with us. And with that, Mythfits, stay weird.
Stay weird, Mythfits.
Pioneer.